Get the inside scoop on the biggest NBA news and hear from the stars on and off the court on the Woj Pod. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Thursday afternoon. Joining me from Boston, Massachusetts, his wrist and arm is feeling better, Tim Von Temps.
I was trying to remember the last time I did the pod from here. It feels like it was 6 months ago. Been all over the place.
Yeah, you've been up and down. You're out in California. You're all over. But we're glad your wrist is feeling better after that difficult fall last week.
I appreciate it.
Seriously, I'm being honest. You think I'm joking. I'm being honest. I'm glad.
Makes two of us.
Man, you missed a chance last week to comment on Von Temps wiping out in front of the White House. But we're not going to cover that ground.
No, they'll trust me. I got my shots in. They just weren't for public consumption, which made them that much more unfiltered and honest.
That's right.
Well, that's Ben McMahon back after his brief hiatus.
Howdy, partners.
So I wanted to start off here talking about two teams in the Eastern Conference up Von Temps way that are, I don't know if you think they're underachieving or not. I guess it depends on your perspective. One is right there in Von Temps' home there with the Celtics, who lost last night to the Hawks to fall under 500, 7-8 on the season. Now, we obviously know that Jaylen Brown has been out with a hamstring and will still be out for a little while. And that certainly has to be recognized as an issue. He has got off to a pretty good start this season. But that said, Von Temps, you know, I'm not sure that a lot of people saw this team as a 7-8 team 15 games into the season, regardless of that. And I got to tell you, as I'm looking at him, I mean, I'm not excited about him at all. I mean, obviously they can play better than they have, but I'm not looking at them and saying, boy, just wait till they get it revving up and they're going to be a factor.
Yeah. I mean, I think that goes for just about everybody who lives in Boston too. I mean, this team has been a source of frustration for people here for a while. And I think the start of the season has only exacerbated that. And really, to me, it just comes down to more than anything else to play Jason Tatum. I mean, you can go through the Celtics schedule and, you know, they lost a couple double overtime games. They blew a couple big fourth quarter leads to Chicago and to the Cavs. You know, if those games go a different way, they could easily be sitting here at, you know, 10-5, 11-4, and, you know, everything looks a lot different. But ultimately, Jason Tatum is shooting 39% from the field and 32% from three and is getting to the line five times a game and is just not playing well enough. And, you know, for all the other problems the Celtics have, they've had some injuries. They still have some depth issues. Their offense in general has really struggled. You know, if Jason Tatum is going to be shooting under 40% from the field,
he takes a lot of bad shots, man. He just takes a lot of bad shots for a guy of his skill and size. Just there's a lot of times where if you're a Celtics fan, you're like, why are you taking that shot there?
Or if you're Marcus Smart, forget the Celtics fans. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy who, you know, I believe would be considered the leader in that locker room, who very blatantly, very loudly and publicly called out the two young stars. Basically, hey, we've got five guys on the floor. The rest of us would like to see the ball every once in a while. You know, maybe you two could give it up or move the ball a little bit. And man, like, forget about the frustration of the fans. When you hear a guy like Marcus Smart, you know, a respected veteran who just signed a contract extension, expressing that kind of frustration in the first month of the season directed straight at the two guys that they're trying to build around. Man, that was a pretty eyebrow raise.
This is a raw number, but he's playing about a minute and a half more per game this year than he did last year. So more court time. He's taking about two shots more a game, and he's averaging about one less assist a game.
Mrs. Tatum?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's, I mean, don't even ask about his field goal percentage. As Von Temps mentioned, he's taking the highest 3-point percentage, the highest percentage of his shots in his career from three is this year. He's taken about 38% of his shots are from three. He's shooting only 32% on them.
Well, the bigger issue, even than that, Brian, is every year in his career, his shot profile has gotten farther away from the basket. His distance per shot, it went from, I think it was 12 feet something his rookie year. It's up to over 15 this year.
That's right. I'll give it to you. I have it right in front of me.
Okay.
His five-year career, or is this his fifth year?
This is his fifth year.
Average shot distance, 12-7, 13-6, 14-4, 14-6, 15.1.
And he, to your point about the difficult
shots. By the
way,
his field goal percentage, here's what his field goal percentage has done. 48, 45, 45, 45.9, 46, 39. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. And you mentioned the difficult shots. He is a, you know, avowed fan of Kobe Bryant, and he takes a lot of Kobe Bryant shots. And when you're 6'9".
Kobe Bryant wasn't 6'10 or whatever he is.
Well, that's what I mean. When you're hit, when you're Jason Tatum's size and skill level, like it's to me, it's inexcusable for him to be shooting 39% from the field or anything.
They haven't listed at 6'8", but he's taller than that, right?
That's sort of a Kevin Durant 6'9 situation. Okay. And I think he's probably 6'10. And he with his ball handling ability, like he just doesn't get to the basket enough. And he's kind of said you know, he gets asked about it plenty and he sort of says, yeah, you know, people, you know, said I need to get to the basket more. It's something I've worked on. But, you know, he likes to take these difficult isolation, step back, sidestep jumpers, and they look great when they go in. And he has nights where every shot's going in.
He's got a lot of clutch
awesome.
Shots on his resume where he's done exactly that. But there's the misses are piling up, man.
Yeah. And if to Marcus's point, like Tim said, those comments came after that loss to Chicago. When they were up 14 at the start of the fourth quarter, were down 14 at the end of the quarter. There was such a bad quarter. The entire starting lineup was on the bench for garbage time. And again, they led by 14 at the start of the quarter. And Marcus came in and unloaded. And look, I think it sort of just does sum up the situation around this team. We've seen Ime Udoka, the new coach, come in. He has not been afraid to say things publicly. After the Celtics lost on Monday in Cleveland, he came in and said Jason Tatum needs to do a better job.
No, they won on Monday. I think they lost
on
Saturday.
They lost. They blew a lead on Saturday and lost. They played the Cavs two games in a row. He came into his post-game session on Saturday and said Jason Tatum has to not drop his head and focus on other things when he isn't making shots. Like, he has come out very stridently a few other times in the media and said stuff. So there's just a lot going on here. And you mentioned, you know, Robert Williams is missing some time now with his knee. Jalen's been out with a hamstring. They've had some close losses. This whole thing could look a lot different. And frankly, their defense has been pretty good. I mean, I thought they had a chance to be a top 5 or 10 defense. They're right now, I think, 9th in the league in defense. That part is pretty good. The offense was going to be the question of whether this team was going to be a 500 team or better. Right now, they're ranked 23rd. They got a bunch of guys who can't hit a shot.
I mean, are they? Let me just ask you this. Last year, they went 36 and 36.
Yep.
Right now, they're 7-8.
Yep.
Okay, they've had some injuries. They've had some close losses.
Yep.
Why should I believe that they're not just a 500 team?
I think they very well they
brought in Al Horford, I guess. You know, Kemba, they sort of swapped Kemba for Horford. Not sort of, they did.
Yeah.
And they signed Schroeder. I mean, is that a major upgrade? I mean, maybe they're just a 500 team.
I think there's a good chance they're a 500 team. I do think there's a chance that they could be better than a 500 team because their defense had a chance to be better with the swap of Horford for Kemba. And some of the other moves they made, and their defense is pretty good. And if their defense is somewhere between 5 and 10 and their offense gets up to, you know, 15 or a little higher instead of 23, that's a team that's in the mid-40s in wins. And, you know, maybe he's in the top 6 in the East and, you know, is better than last year. They also could very well be 42-40 and be the 8 seed. You know, I think either way, to your point coming into this, they have two elite young wing players. And they're a team that their ceiling is probably losing in the first round of the playoffs, which sort of sums up the rest of the roster and the situation that they're in.
So McMahon, Marcus Smart is playing career high 36 minutes a game. It's 3 minutes more than he was last year. Ime Udoka is boosting some of the front lines minutes. Yet he's averaging a shot and a half less per game.
Even with Brown missing time.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know that it wasn't just pointed at Tatum, as you said, it's pointed at Brown. I mean, he and Jalen, you know, rubbed up against each other in the bubble. If you remember, it's not a new irritation for Mark.
Right.
Not that I think Marcus should be getting high volume shots.
No. And I don't necessarily, I didn't necessarily take that as him saying, I need more shots, just him right. saying, hey, the ball needs to move. And, you know, if he's saying that publicly, like if he obviously walked into that postgame press conference saying, I'm going to put it all out there. You've got
Tristan Thompson style.
Yeah. You've got to imagine that, that he said plenty, you know, privately.
Well, look, that was
the meetings or on the bench or in the locker room or whatever.
Those two guys sharing the ball was the number one topic of training camp. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown got to share the ball more, got to move the ball more. They're going to be hubs of our offense. They're combining to average 5.7 assists per game.
Yeah.
That's just not good enough.
Well, at least they've got Schroeder to set the table for everybody.
So
when Dennis Schroeder is leading your team in assists, as he currently is, it's not a great sign, as a coach said to me this week.
Yeah, so I was that's good. I was talking to an old head in the NBA this week, and he said to me, you know, Brad Stevens is a good coach, but he's conflict averse. Which that can work. It doesn't all, you don't have to be fiery. Ime Udoka is not conflict averse.
Definitely not.
And so that's a pretty big changeover right there. And Bontemps said it a couple of times this year, including this week, Ime has come out in public and gone after his guys. He is not afraid to ruffle
feathers. He lit them up twice in the first week of the season.
Right.
Like, absolutely lit them up
relatively. No, I mean,
he blew them up, I would say. I mean, the first time they lost to the Raptors by 30 in their home opener, that's understandable. The second time they played the Wizards, they had to come back in the second half. They lost. He came in and said their effort was crap and shoot around. He knew they were going to be crap in the game, and then they were. It was like, whoa, all right.
I like it.
Well, I mean, it's a huge change to your point from where Brad Stevens was before. I mean, it is a totally different approach.
Well, you like it because, you know, it's makes for good material for us to talk about.
That's right. I like realism. You know, I don't like phoniness.
But has it worked?
Here's the other thing too with the Celtics, right? I mean, to look at it a little bit differently. Tatum is probably not going to shoot 32% on threes the rest of the season. Al Horford shooting 28% on threes. Marcus Smart shoot 26% on threes. Aaron Nesmith shooting 17.9% on threes. A little bit of this is they have guys who are decent shooters who can't make a shot. And that will probably normalize some. And I do think their offense will get better. And I do think they're going to be decent. But yeah, it's like you said, Brian, at the very beginning, this team doesn't excite anybody, right? When you have two guys that are as good as Jaylen and Jason are at this stage in their career, you should have a little bit higher ceiling than we're hoping to get out of the play-in. And really, when you look at the Celtics, regardless of these, you know, kind of issues on the margins, that's what their ceiling is. And that, I think, has to give you some concern, given that after this season, Jaylen Brown's got 2 years, so he's a free agent. And you start to get into the territory of what are these guys going to start to do next? And Jason Tatum after this year, well, 3 years on his deal until he could be a free agent. You know, it's like time goes by pretty fast. And all of a sudden,
well, they still got plenty of time. They still got plenty of time. But I mean, they have to decide what they're going to do to get more out of this roster, because you have two guys like that. You shouldn't be 500.
Right.
Period. I mean, that's just the reality. All right. So the Knicks,
bing bong.
That was when they were 5-1. They started out 5-1.
Well, it was after the first win over the Celtics in overtime. That was where bing bong came from. The one in double overtime against the Celtics. They had this amazing video. I think it was NBC or not NBC, NYC Side Talk, Sidewalk Talk. I can't remember the account, but that's where it came from.
Well, when the Magic come to town, it's ding dong.
Magic beat their behinds in the Garden.
Twice.
Cole Anthony, by the way, who, although he didn't have a good game last night, who we didn't know how he was going to play with Jalen Suggs. They're playing them together. And Cole Anthony, I mean, the Magic aren't winning a lot of games unless they play the Knicks, but Cole Anthony's having a pretty good year.
Cole Anthony has been their best player. Yes. That's been a huge turnaround.
And Suggs hasn't been good yet. You know, Suggs is struggling just like Jalen Green's struggling in Houston. And, you know, Cunningham's starting, I think, to come around in Detroit. But, you know, those top five picks who are kind of supposed to be generating offense with the ball in their hands a lot. It's been a rough go so far.
Well, they're starting two rookies. So when you start two rookies and Cole Anthony is a second year player, when you are starting three guys who have 1 year or less experience, I mean, that's not a recipe for winning, but
you see flashes though from those guys. I mean, they got a pretty interesting future now with Wagner and Suggs. And if Cole can keep playing like this,
we'll see if they sign anybody. Okay. So the Knicks start out 5-1 in there. They won in Chicago and they beat Philly. It's, you know, Breen's yelling bing bong at the games. It's everything's going great. Now they're 8-7 and it's very obvious if you watch the Knicks at all that their starting lineup is just getting nothing done right now. Bontemps, I think you have some numbers.
Yes, the Knicks starting lineup as of recording has played 43 more minutes than any other lineup in the NBA, any five-man unit, 257 minutes. They're being outscored by 16.3 points per 100 possessions and have a defensive rating of 119.3, which I don't think is very good.
Is that good?
I don't think so.
Ain't gonna work for Tibbs. I was talking to somebody who sat a couple of rows behind the Knicks game the other night.
Much less this year.
Yes.
Right. I was talking to somebody who sat like real close to the Knicks bench the other night in the Garden, and he was saying that Tibbs is in prime form. He is not a happy man, and he is letting it be known. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Well, hell, he wasn't happy at 5-1. Imagine now.
Right. So Julius Randle got off to a really good start. He hasn't really had a good game by the standard that he set last year in a couple of weeks. Evan Fournier has gotten off to a good start. He got off to a decent start. Not really exciting, but it was okay. And basically, Tibbs doesn't trust him right now. He's been benching him in the fourth quarter for the last couple of weeks. He won't even play him. He's not really, he's benching his whole starters,
dude,
in the fourth quarter for games.
Well, that's
not sustainable. When you have the number one most played unit together in the league, and they're getting outscored by 16 points per 100.
That's right. And the bench,
it's a miracle you're above 500 at that.
Well,
level.
And the part of the reason they are is their second most used lineup, which is their all bench group of Derrick Rose, Emmanuel Quickley, Alec Burks, Obi Toppin, and Taj Gibson, is outscoring teams by 28 points per 100 possessions in 89 minutes. And so that is basically the Knicks have fallen behind because their starters have gotten waxed, and then they've stormed back into games repeatedly because their bench has come in and turned the game around, which, you know, it's good if your bench is doing that, but it's bad if your bench is having to do that every single game because your starting lineup is getting drilled.
Well, it's killing them. It's bad if you go out and you make two major additions in the offseason, Fournier, who you paid a lot of money, and then, you know, Kimba was basically a mid-level type addition. But still, those are your two major additions. And I'm looking at a StatMuse tweet right now.
I saw that earlier.
In the last seven games, Fournier has played a total of 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. Kimba's played a total of 10 minutes in the fourth quarter. Combined in the last seven games, combined, they're averaging 16 points on really bad shooting percentages.
Well, the thing about it is, those guys are not going to defend. So if they're not scoring, Tibbs is just not going to stand for it.
Right.
And they're not scoring. So Tibbs is right. not standing for it. You know?
Right.
I think he's had one or two fourth quarters where he basically hasn't made a sub.
No, yeah, like, he's had, yeah. I mean, he played they against the Bucks last week. He played the starter, the bench unit for the final 15 minutes of the game straight because they made a huge comeback at a game I was at and nearly pulled him back and won the game. I mean, Fournier got off to a really good start, which is why he's still shooting 41 overall and 35 from three through 15 games, even with as bad as he's played. But he's been bad for a while. Randall, to your point, Brian, you know, he's putting up good numbers, but he's still taking really difficult, sort of like Jason Tatum. He's passing more, but he's still taking really, really difficult isolation shots to sort of weigh down his percentages, which in theory he was not going to have to do when they added Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier and these guys. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of the Knicks are in kind of an interesting spot because, you know, even though they came into the season without huge expectations in New York for what they were going to be, they got off to that hot start. They got those good wins. People there got excited, and now it's completely reversed the other way. And, you know, there is a little bit of dissension in the ranks from
RJ Barrett too. Now, RJ Barrett, the Knicks, you know, he quietly had, you know, the two guys picked in front of him, although Zion's not playing, but two guys picked in front of him obviously get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. But Barrett quietly, even within his own team, he had a really good sophomore
really good season last year. Yep.
He played every game. He shot 44%, which it was an improvement. He shot 40% on threes. He averaged 18 points. He averaged 6 rebounds. He was doing stuff. I think the Knicks, you know, they weren't going to trumpet it because everything they do these days is quiet, which isn't the worst idea in the world when you're sharing the city with the Nets. They, I think, quietly expected him to, like, have a big breakout third season. Like, you guys keep talking about Ja and Zion. Well, here comes RJ. Well, that could still happen, but his shooting has gone the other direction. His scoring has gone the other direction.
His percentages are right back where he was as a rookie again.
Yeah. And, you know, his minutes are down because Tibbs isn't playing him as much. So, you know, I mean, he's had a couple of games where he's looked great, but, you know, he's also a guy. I mean, when you're looking at the Knicks this year, you're thinking, okay, we know they're going to defend because it's Tibbs. That hasn't happened. They get Kemba Walker for almost nothing. Even if he's only good one out of every three games, it's a big upgrade. That hasn't really happened. You see Fournier, they're like, oh my God, that's another weapon that can put some points on the board when they need it. It hasn't really happened. So, and then some of their other guys have backslid. So there's nothing that has gone the way that they thought. Cause they, you know, the concept of them getting better was kind of hard to see. They were 10 games over 500 last year and got the 4th seed. If they had duplicated that this year, it would have been a great accomplishment. I don't think I was expecting them to leap, but I was expecting them to at least stay in neutral with the additions that they made. And maybe they will in the end, but they are not doing that right now.
Well, I think it was probably not reasonable to expect Randall to have another year like that. You know, that's very likely going to be his career year. But, you know, as you were saying, it was reasonable to expect Barrett to continue his development. And certainly felt like they at least added some scoring punch with Fournier and Walker. Now, I'm going to say with Fournier, like, if you give a guy $78 million, shouldn't you wait more than like 2 or 3 weeks to pull the plug on him?
Well, I would say that I wouldn't quite go so far as to say they're pulling the plug on him, but you know,
he's played 5 minutes in the last 7 fourth quarters.
I understand that, but that I'm telling you, Tom is going to this. He's going into these rotations with this starting group and this bench group. And when the bench group plays well, Tibbs isn't the guy to like, well, I got to get the starters back in. It's like, we're cracking the whip and we're riding the guys who are in the game to the end. It's not, you know, that's not, I don't think it's a, I mean, in the opener against the Celtics, I think Fournier played 45 minutes and had 35 points, right? Like Tom is a reactionary guy in these games. He's just going to play who's playing well. And this starting group is not playing well. And I think the better question is, at what point do you switch things up? Do you not start Kemba Walker? Do you not start Evan Fournier? Do you move things around that way? Because like Brian said, you can't have the most played lineup in the league and have it getting you drilled every night and win games. Like that's not a sustainable formula for success, no matter what else is going on.
It's driving our guy Worldwide Wob crazy.
That doesn't take much.
He's driving him crazy. Like he's sinking into madness every night. He puts these videos up every night. He's getting angrier and angrier. And I'm like, buddy, it's mid-November. You got to pace yourself. But that's the thing. The Knicks have increased, you know, the expectation is raised. It's not a honeymoon anymore. By the way, they haven't played the toughest schedule because even some of their tough games, like they won in Philly last week without it. I think that was Embiid's first or second game.
Yeah, Embiid, no Tobias. They were down, no Tobias Harris. They were down several players.
Right. So, like, coming up, they go, they have to play Chicago. They play the Suns. They play in Atlanta. They play in Brooklyn, Chicago again, Denver, Milwaukee, Golden State. They do get to play your Rockets twice in the next few weeks, McMahon. So that's
they better win those games.
Well, I tell you what, the Rockets and Magic, there are some similarities there. So those could be challenging.
Right. That's true. All right. Well, you know, I'm not excited about the Celtics. I'm just sort of wake me up when something happens there. The Knicks, I really thought that they would be better. And I was excited about their start because the league is better when the Knicks are competitive.
Well, we've got this Celtics Lakers game tomorrow, and that's going to be a pretty interesting game for both these teams. Had a bunch of losses lately on both sides. Yeah, LeBron may be back. That's going to be a pretty interesting game. You know, Celtics went on this road trip and struggled again.
The Schroeder revenge game.
That's right. Dennis Schroeder revenge game. It's going to be interesting. That's going to be an interesting game.
What's he going to do? He could score 35 or he could score 5. I have no idea.
He's actually been decent for them.
He helped them.
He had a bit of a slow start, but he's played well.
They won that comeback and they really won it because Mobley got hurt, I guess. But Schroeder like led them to the win in Cleveland the other night.
Yeah, I mean, on a team that can't score, he's provided them some legitimately important scoring off the bench. Now he's starting with Jaylen out. So he's been pretty useful for them.
I don't think he's a difference making player, but I do think that he's not a problem of what they're dealing with. He's not been a problem. I think that it's at this point, one of the things we haven't really talked about a lot on this pod early in the season is the two teams that were in the finals last year. the Suns and Bucks. The Bucks have really been banged up, but the Suns have had some adversity going on in this season. McMahon and I were there when all that went down.
It's the only time we've discussed them on the pod so far.
I know it wasn't. I mean, McMahon, I think that night they beat the Rockets. You know, wasn't that competitive of a game? I guess it was close for a half. They had some nice things happen that game. It was the only time I think in my career where I covered a game and there was nothing after the game said about the game that was played.
Right.
Devin Booker and Chris Paul gave interviews about the Robert Sarver story and they never discussed 1 second of the game that they had just played in. That's partially because they didn't make anybody available before the game when that normally would be done. But that's just an example of how that's been distracting. But they have won. As of doing this pod, they play again against the Mavericks. They have a double homestand against the Mavericks. They beat the Mavericks on Wednesday night, and they've won 10 in a row.
Yeah, they beat the Luka-less Mavericks. They don't have – they've played a soft schedule. They don't have a win that you would point to as like, wow, you know, they've really beat a good team. You know, I did stick around. You bolted down because you're kind of a diva. I did stick around to watch them play the Hawks that weekend. You know, the Hawks are better. I think it's fair to say they're better than their record. So they came back to beat the Hawks. It was kind of a classic Chris Paul takeover in crunch time performance. You know, last night they didn't shoot the ball well at all. Chris Paul was like 0 for a million before he finally hit a shot. But, you know, they dominated down the stretch. You know, again, no Luka. But I think, you know, when you look at the Suns, Ayton has missed pretty significant time.
That's the other adversity. They've had Sarver and Ayton. Ayton's barely played.
Right. Ayton's missed a lot of time. They've been a very good defensive team and a very mediocre offensive team this year. And then they've just been great closing games. I think it's reasonable to say, hey, they're going to be a great closing team.
Sounds familiar to last year. Weren't they a dominant closing team last year also?
You know what? They were 25-12 in clutch games, but I went and looked and their net rating was, you know, it was like plus one. Right now, this is tiny sample size theater, but it's like plus 61.
Oh, wow.
In clutch. Yeah. But, you know, Chris Paul has established himself. I think it's fair to say that if you're talking about the best closers in the league, if he's not number one, he's really, really high on that list. But he hasn't, you know, his scoring is at a career low right now. And I honestly don't think it's anything other than he's not shooting the ball that well. And maybe part of that is
he's had a couple of games where he shot it really, really well, but overall shooting is down. His
yeah, like last night, he just missed some really good looks. You know, I think he'll end up shooting the ball fine over the course of the season. And as long as they're a you know, really good defensive team, I think they'll be in the thick of things.
So here's the thing. I am impressed with the 10-game win streak in that they have had to deal without Ayton, who Ayton was a big factor in the win over the Mavericks.
It's the
best game he's played in a while because of the injury and put up really good efficient numbers. He was totally the DeAndre Ayton that he was in the playoffs last year in that game. But I will tip my cap to them to say, with the Sarver stuff, which affected them not just in a couple of days after it came out, but in the week or two before it came out. I know I was around them. They were a little bit tense about it. So I can on one hand say to win, to be 11-3 and to have a 10-game win streak, despite those factors, is good. But yet I have not been super duper impressed with them despite that record, which I think is fair to say when you're coming off the finals, you have a high standard. But here's what I'm getting to. November 30th, Golden State Warriors at home. December 3rd, Golden State Warriors on the road. Christmas Day, Warriors at Suns. So between now and Christmas, they have three meetings with the Warriors. Hopefully they stay healthy, but right now they're relatively healthy. They also, Cameron Payne, they missed him for a bunch of the season with hamstring. So, but right now they're relatively healthy. So, Klay Thompson may end up playing in one or two of those games, but so we're going to see
Christmas,
those
three, maybe not okay. The first two.
All right. Well, he's cleared for contact, which is cleared for 5-on-5 contact, which is more than we can say for Zion. the Pelicans have given more Zion Williamson. He's not back yet updates than they have wins. And that is a true statement in itself, but I digress.
And they haven't given a whole lot of those either.
They've given four of them and they have two wins. And the fourth update was that he has gone from being allowed to play 5-on-0 to playing 1-on-1 with contact. So check back in 2 weeks. These three Warriors games, obviously they're going to be in November and December. They're not part of a playoff series, but that is where we will see where the Suns are because the Warriors are certainly the class of the West. Don't look like there's any signs of slowing down. And so we are going to see just how good the Suns are, McMahon.
Yeah, the Warriors against the Nets, that's about as strong a statement as you can make in November. And I do just – listen, I don't mean to be the Hoop Collective critic here, but let me just call out knee-jerk Nick Friedell. This guy had the Warriors and like 13th in the West before the season. And now he's playing in the freaking championship parade on your pod earlier this week. So knee jerk Nick, I'm not trying to hear his baritone bull crap. Okay. Let me just start there. And while I'm at it, let me get on Mac 10 seed. Okay. Our boy McMenamin.
Mac 10 seed.
My goodness. I mean, making every excuse in the book for them giving up Caruso and oh, this, that, and the other. I tell you what, we'll talk about the Bucks. You know Giannis must have been absolutely dominant last night when Mac 10 seed is tweeting complimentary things, including, quote, he schooled Anthony Davis one-on-one on several possessions. I know that was tough to type out.
When Band and I agree on something, it's a momentous occasion.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. McMahon, his week off of the pod, he came ready with some vinegar. Here.
Ready with takes. Ready with takes.
I mean, I love those two doofuses, but boy, oh boy.
Well, to McMahon's comments on the Warriors, it was really wild watching that game. I was in Brooklyn on Tuesday, watched that game, and it was really wild to see the Warriors playing like it was 2015 again. It was a really weird thing. Like, those 2 years before Durant showed up, that team was sort of like a religious experience going around the league. Like, you had all the fans running out to see Steph shoot for 90 minutes for the game, and like, it was just a wild scene. And it was like that again on Tuesday. And they were playing like that again on Tuesday. Steph's flying around,
that
bombing
ball
from 30
is moving,
feet.
Boy.
The ball's moving around. Draymond Green is playing great. He was unbelievably jacked up, flying around, making defensive plays all over the place. He clearly was motivated to play that game. They've got bench guys contributing, guys like Gary Payton II. They're throwing Jonathan Kuminga out there. He was flying around making plays.
Who's ready to contribute to a contender? I mean,
Kuminga had like three or four plays Kuminga had where you were like, whoa.
Yeah. And whoa good and whoa bad. It was all over the place. But if he's going to play like his hair's on fire for 10, 12 minutes a game, he can help them. So look, I'm really fascinated to watch these Warriors Suns games because I think they are the two best teams in the West. As of now, not just in record, but in terms of overall ceiling. And I think if you look at the way the Warriors play, when they're playing small with Draymond, they're back to being pretty devastating again with that group. And they're only going to be more so when they could plug Klay in there if he could give them anything close to what he used to be. Mm-hmm. And Phoenix is the one team that I think has the flexibility to play big against teams like Utah and Denver because they've got Ayton. And then they can also go up against a team like the Warriors because Ayton is quick enough to stay on the court against some of those teams. And they've got a bunch of, you know, perimeter guys and Jay Crowder and Mikal Bridges, Chris Paul, still a good defensive player who could stick with Golden State's perimeter guys. And they could go
Cameron
back.
Cameron Johnson hasn't had the best season so far, but when you have Cameron Johnson and Mikal Bridges, you have a lot of flexibility to do some things with your lineup.
Yep.
Yeah. It felt going into the season like the West was absolutely wide open, which was the case last year. It doesn't feel that way right now. I think the Warriors have established themselves as the clear cut class of the Western Conference. And, you know, obviously Steph playing at MVP level is a huge part of it. But like you mentioned, Bontemps, just the way that the ball's moving and the fact that they are by far the best defensive team in the league. And, you know, that starts with Draymond, who, you know, if we're going to have defensive player of the month, he would be that dude. But dude, you look at that bench, they're bringing Iguodala off the bench. Gary Payton II is a stud defender. I mean, you know, G League defensive player of the league. He is an absolute elite defender. Kuminga has, you know, like Draymond said, Kuminga has all the tools to be a defensive impact player. And he's getting this like master's level education from Draymond and from Iguodala. And I mean, you look at the roster, like they're bringing back, I don't know if Weissman's going to hurt or help. We'll see. But, you know, Klay, I obviously think he's going to help. They're going to have like legit 14 rotation caliber players. including some, you know, all-time, you know, Steph is a top 10-ish all-time player. Draymond is a top, you know, whatever, and Clay is number 77.
Yeah, and they, that was a pretty great line. Look, I mean, they've certainly set themselves up really well, and you know, they're going to be a factor, obviously, at the top of the West. But like I said, I think Phoenix is going to be right there, and I'm really curious to watch those matchups, because I think the Suns have the ability to hang with them on the perimeter, and they're versatile enough to play different ways. Like, that could be, like, right now, if you ask me, I would say that's the conference finals matchup. And, you know, I think that could have the makings of being a heck of a series. So I'm very excited to watch those games. Let's not make any
assumptions about conference finals matchups in November.
Well, I'm just saying, but... I'm saying as of today, like,
let's not just dismiss the Denver Nuggets, assuming, and this is a knock on wood, that Porter will be back at some point.
Well,
and
you're right.
Murray will be back.
I'm very worried about the Porter thing. They've given like no real update.
Yeah.
And it's like just lower back soreness, which.
Well, and with his history, obviously.
If it was the guy with no back history, like, okay, he's back locked up, but I'm worried about that one.
Yeah.
He's not played well this year.
But
which indicates maybe it didn't just start bothering him.
Yeah, no, but back to my Hoop Collective critic mode. First of all, way premature on MVP talk, but Bontemps, did you hear who Wendy was already stumping for? Did you hear him stumping for Nikola Jokic?
I heard it. Jack-ass
classic right there, boy.
Once again, I was not criticizing Jokic's MVP case. For some reason, this has not gotten through after all these months. I was saying that a player shouldn't be invalidated because he gets hurt. Okay.
Okay. Whatever. I know it's mid-November and suddenly you're like flying the Serbian flag and you know, all kinds of stuff here. So I'm just saying
the guy's having one of the
He also insulted all the stats people because he said PER is the only inclusive stat.
Kevin Pelton told me the machine says he will never make another appearance after that. If you can't get on the warp train, I don't know what to tell you.
It's one of the stats. Okay. Sorry, but I'm not sure that's exactly what I said. I'll tell you this, guys, all you people who've got Steph Curry in ink for your MVP, you better hope he doesn't miss 10 games, because if he misses 10 games, you're out.
We're not
baby.
Talking about the MVP
you're
in
out.
November.
Oh man.
You can say MVP level. You I'm cannot start you, man, building cases before they've played
hope.
A quarter of the season.
Listen, if a player rests, he's to be applauded, but if he misses a few games with a sprained ankle, you're out. That's the message I've been told.
Straw poll coming
so
in.
Steph better play 77 games or otherwise, no way.
Well,
that's
straw
poll's
coming in a few weeks. Get your popcorn ready, folks.
Are we straw polling in a few weeks already?
A few weeks.
By the way,
I didn't say tomorrow. I said a few weeks.
Oh, Jesus. I'm saying, like, if you didn't believe that Embiid should be the MVP because he missed games, then you shouldn't have been second in the voting because you shouldn't have had him on your ballot at all. If he didn't have enough votes to be on the first place line, he should have been on the second place line.
What are
we
doing?
I thought
I banned MVP talk till the All-Star break.
Yeah, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
You've taken
McMahon
this.
Did it. It's McMahon's fault.
It is McMahon's fault. Let's talk about the Bucks instead. Let's transition.
This
to
is
that,
my
please.
Podcast.
Speaking of MVPs, let's talk about
the Bucks.
Yeah, you want to yell more about Jokic and Embiid, Brad? Would you rather do that?
This is my podcast. Let's talk about the Bucks. I didn't want you to have that power. How about Giannis in a high value, obviously LeBron didn't play, but in a high value game, national television game against the Lakers, he's just like, yeah, I'm going to go out there and not really do anything like special. And I'm just going to throw 47 up there. I'm going to shoot like 17 of 22 and you know, no big deal. I mean, that performance reminded me the way of like LeBron. I mean, dozens of games in LeBron's career when he would go out and like casually have like 37, 12, and 8 back when those numbers were considered exceptional. He didn't even really even hit the gas. And that's the way Giannis looked to me. And that's why, you know, they were below 500 or whatever, because they had all these injuries. when you got a guy like that who can play like that, the, anything's possible. And I know the Bucks got to clean some stuff up. I know they got to get healthy Bontemps, but I know you've seen them quite a bit this year. But man, that was just a reminder of who the champs are right there.
Yeah, I enjoyed Anthony Davis after the game saying, oh, yeah, you started off as kind. I mean, he said some nice stuff. He said a bunch of nice stuff about Giannis, but he started off by saying, yeah, he went 3-for-4 from three and we want him to take those shots. Well, Anthony, Giannis went 15-for-19 from two, including dribbling down on one possession, walking through you like tissue paper and dunking on your head. So, yes, I would say that the 2-point shooting was pretty good for Giannis. And I mean, look, I was around the Bucks last week. It's obviously how I banged my hand up, as we talked about last week on the pod. And it was interesting, even though they were in the middle of a pretty rough stretch of games, bunch of losses. You know, Chris Middleton was out with COVID. Brooke Lopez has missed a bunch of time with a back injury. Bobby Portis missed a bunch of time. Jrue Holiday missed time. Despite all these guys being out and them trying to kind of mash unit their way through the start of the season, they were absolutely not concerned. And they were just very confident that once they got their guys back, got everybody locked in and playing, they were going to be just fine. And
well, and look, if you're in the West, you're looking over at that beast in the Bay going, oh my God, we're behind. But if you're in the East, who are you scared of?
Yeah. And opening night, they sure didn't look scared of Brooklyn opening night. I mean, they beat the crap out of the Nets when the Nets you know, the Nets had every, I mean, they sat since game 7 last year talking about, whoa, you know, when we're healthy, we're so much better. This, they had all the motivation in the world to go to Milwaukee and spoil a little ring ceremony.
And the Bucks,
teams tend to play poorly on ring night. The teams always get their butts kicked on ring night.
That's right. And the Bucks, will say, we had our team healthy for one game this season, and it was opening night, and we demolished the Nets. So, but it was just interesting seeing the feeling around the team and kind of being around them for a couple of days and just how relaxed they were. Even in the middle of, I mean, they weren't happy they were losing games, but they also weren't worried about where they were headed. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the Nets earlier, you know, set the Kyrie situation aside. I just look at this Bucks team. I thought coming into the season, they were the best team. And I think when they've got everything revved up and going, they're going to be the best team because Giannis just looks awesome. His free throw shooting, his shooting in general looks better. He looks more comfortable with that. He's made some changes to his routine. Seems much more confident in it now. And the Grayson Allen
addition. Those numbers still aren't great.
They're not great.
I don't think you should have the same fear level that you might have in the past.
No, and after going 17-for-19 in game 6, you probably don't ever have to really again, frankly. But Grayson Allen looks fantastic for them. He's complete. I mean, he missed a bunch of shots last night, but he is perfectly slotted into their system.
That was a really great trade.
It really was. I mean, look, they essentially traded PJ Tucker for Grayson Allen and George Hill. That was the bet they made. And I think, you know, we'll see how it looks in the playoffs.
Well, it helped that they were able to keep Bobby Portis could have gotten more money elsewhere, but Bobby just loves it there and he took what they could give him. And that was a big thing.
Yep.
Their ability to keep Bobby Portis and Bobby to be able to play that role.
But now they've
that's a big thing.
And now you'll go into the playoffs with, you know, once they get Dante DiVincenzo back in a couple months, you got Pat Connaughton, Dante DiVincenzo, or Grayson Allen, whichever one isn't starting, Bobby Portis, George Hill, all coming off the bench. Assuming Brooke Lopez's back is okay. That's an awfully good bench. And then you're talking about a good 9-man rotation that you're going to be able to go toe to toe with anybody with.
When the chips were on the line last year, Giannis played as a big man.
Yep.
When it really mattered, Giannis was out there playing center, essentially. And because Lopez has been out, Giannis has had, and Portis has been out.
Yep.
Giannis has had to play bigger out of necessity early on. And I think the more time he spends doing that, the better off they're going to be.
I love Giannis in the half court as the, you know, the screen guy in the pick and roll. I mean, you know, I love the fact that he's a dude who can grab a rebound and be a one-man fast break, or when things slow down, he can set the screen, dive to the basket, and dominate that way.
And that's their set play, their pet play late in games is Chris Middleton and Giannis in a pick and roll. And, you know, it either gets Middleton a shot or Giannis a bucket. And, yeah, I mean, they look really good. They look really confident. obviously it's early. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. But, you know, Giannis at the five, and Giannis even talked about how, you know, he hasn't played a ton of minutes at the five. And it's been a bit of an adjustment for him to kind of get familiar with what you know, Mike Budenholzer wants him to do. And yeah, to your point, every minute he's getting at center now, you know, going up against guys like Anthony Davis, some of these other guys during the season, it's only going to help them as they get into the playoffs. And look, if we look ahead to a matchup with the Nets are playing a bunch of guys who are 6'8". So you can have Giannis out there at center. It's not like he's banging on anybody. He's not going up against a Jokic or an Embiid or one of those kind of guys. So there's no big, there's no penalty.
He's going up against Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge and Bruce Brown.
Right.
How many teams in the East, if the Bucks are healthy, do you think would have a decent shot? Not that you would pick, but would have a decent shot.
Who's playing for the 76ers? Because the 76ers are damn good.
I didn't hear the end of your question.
How many teams in the East do you think would have a decent shot to beat a healthy Bucks team in a playoff series?
One.
Miami or Brooklyn?
I wasn't thinking about Miami. I would give Miami – I would give Miami a puncher's chance to win, but I don't think their offense would be good enough ultimately in that matchup. But I would say two. I would give Miami a chance too.
Those are the two I see, and I, you know, I'm not saying I would pick either, but I'm saying those are the two I think.
I mean, give Philly the fight. Philly cannot win that series today. Now we'll see. Right now they have a $33 million hole on their team. So let's see what they look like on February 11th.
Right.
But as of today, if Ben Simmons, let's just say Ben Simmons, like Kyrie, I'm assuming is not playing this season for their teams. Right. So take them out. I don't think Brooklyn will beat Milwaukee as they're currently constructed, but they have a chance to. I think Miami will not beat Milwaukee as currently constructed, but has a chance to. Philly cannot beat Milwaukee as currently constructed, short of a Simmons trade that brings back stuff that can actually be on the court for them now.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand with that. The other teams, Washington, Chicago, you know, the other teams after that, they're solid teams, but they're not good enough to be.
I was going to say, how far do we want to take our Bulls mea culpa here?
Yeah.
We both admitted that we were wrong. I'm not saying they've got,
I'm not saying they're going to beat the Bucks, but they have definitely been, they've definitely been very good.
DeRozan plays all 82. He better get MVP votes.
here we go.
22 points.
I can't believe you jumped off the Zach LaVine bandwagon so quickly.
22 points a game.
Now we're into DeRozan MVP talk. We're circling back to that.
No.
Just had
who
it ready.
Is this player? 22 points a game.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Primarily in a bench role. He has 11 off the bench, 4 starts.
Tyler Hero.
46% shooting overall, 39% on three.
I should have known it was Tyler Hero. Brian's other favorite.
Can you win most improved and sixth man? I mean, come on.
Yes.
I mean, let's
give him MVP too. Give him the triumvirate.
He's playing every game. All right. Thanks for listening to Collective Podcast. Thank you to McMahon. Welcome back. Thank you to Bontex. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Adios, amigos.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/hoop, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/hoop now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/hoop.